I want to say good morning and welcome everyone to our class on the Kingdom of God. For those of you who are visiting with us for several months, we've been doing a class on the Kingdom of God throughout the Gospels. And today we're going to begin by looking at the Kingdom of God as it grew in the book of Acts. And before we go on, I really want to just give a shout out and a thank you to Steve Collier, who put all these lessons together, have organized them, and have guided us through them. So really want to thank Steve for that. Let's give him a hand. We have, I think, after this class, three more classes. I think Jeff next week will be doing a class, The Kingdom in the Letters. So a big task. But let's go ahead and pray to God, and we'll begin today. Father, thank you so much that we could be a part of your kingdom. Father, just the greatest happening throughout history. Father, we are just so grateful that you chose us for this great task. And indeed, it is a big task, Father. There are a lot of people who don't understand your kingdom and don't want to know about it. But, Father, everyone needs to know about your will and how you desire all men to be saved. Father, be with me as I lead this class. Be with us as we listen. Father, I pray that I can present it as I've learned it, and that, Father, we can leave here more inspired to spread your kingdom throughout our communities. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. I don't see my clicker. She's not here yet, so she'll catch up to me in a minute. Okay. The Kingdom of God in the book of Acts. You know, I'm excited to talk about this because I love the kingdom, and I love sharing about the kingdom, and I know you do also. You know, Jesus instructed his apostles to stay in Jerusalem until the Spirit would come on them. You know, the Spirit came, Peter preached, and the 3,000 people were added to the number that day, as the Scripture says. That was the beginning of God's church and the kingdom as we know it. You know, the book of Acts covers over 30 years of different activities. Sometimes, you know, we can read Acts in a day and think that, hey, man, all this happened all of a sudden. But it's a long period of time covered in the book of Acts, and a lot of things that happened. You know, the book was written for different reasons. One, to give an accurate account. Two, to demonstrate the work of the Spirit. Three, to detail how God used ordinary men to present his will. And four, to defend Christians against those who said that they were the cause of much of the uproar in the Roman Empire. The last one there, I'm a little I agree with and don't agree with. In a sense, the Christians were to cause a lot of the uproar, but not for the reason that the people thought. They were not trying to overthrow governments. They were trying to promote Jesus. See, God doesn't need to defend himself. But all these reasons are true. There are several common themes and stories of people reached out in the book of Acts. And so what I decided to do, you're not going to get any maps. I said I could throw a bunch of maps at you. I'm going to take some of these common themes, and we're going to answer six questions about how the kingdom of God spread in Acts. So with that, we're going to go to question number one. And let's see, my clicker just went off. Hold on. No, I got it now. Actually, you could help me there. Okay. Thanks, Joe. Okay. Question number one. Who is the message for? The message was for everyone. In Acts 2:17 says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Acts 13:47, for this is what the Lord has commanded us. I've made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Okay, let's skip. We'll go to Acts 26 in a minute. See, It says here, this is a quote from Joel 2:28, which goes on to say that I will show wonders in heavens, in heaven and on earth, and all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. See, this is a quote from the Old Testament. It's God's will that all people come to know him and have an opportunity to be a part of his kingdom. See, we have to claim that as a promise. When we go out and we share with people, we got to keep that in mind, that this is for everyone, regardless of how old you are, how young, your profession, your culture, your education level. The kingdom is for everyone. Amen. No, in Acts 13, what was happening here is that Paul and Barnabas and their companions had spoken in Antioch, and it says that, you know, they had such a following that everyone from the entire city came out the next week to listen to them. Can you imagine that? You speak into a group of people, and then it begins to disseminate among everyone else, and then you have the entire city come out to hear you. See, that's the kingdom of God. The kingdom is for everyone. Here in Acts 26, this is a response to Paul talking to Agrippa. And Agrippa said to him, do you think in such a short time you can persuade me to become a Christian? And Paul said, short time alone, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. See, that's our attitude. The kingdom is for everyone. Now, do you pray that when you reach out to someone, that they can become exactly what you are? Because you have something special. There she is. Okay. You keep your... Okay. Thank you. All right, question number two. What did they preach? I'll wait for my clicker to get away. Is it on? Did it go off? Right there. Mike's a little... Mike clicker's a little temperamental today. Okay. What did they preach? Jesus as a crucified Lord. Listen to these verses. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Therefore, my brothers, I want you to know that through Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. Through him, everyone who believes is justified from everything you could not be justified from the law of Moses. See, they preach Jesus Christ crucified. See, when we go out and we preach, we need to preach that Jesus died for our sins. We need to preach that we're sinners. You know, I can still remember clearly 36 years ago when I became a disciple, Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23 being stuck in my mind. And I think when I'm 90 on my deathbed, I remember those two verses. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For there's none righteous, no, not one. See, we've got to preach Christ crucified. You know, I know a lot of times we start conversations with people in different ways. But bottom line, it's about Jesus dying for our sins. And that person has to deal with the sin issue. You know, in Acts 4:12, it says salvation is found in no one else. See, now that's a message will get you persecuted. When you say that salvation only comes through Jesus, not, you know, Muhammad or Buddha, whoever, only through Jesus. It's exclusive. And some people will take notice and want to know more. And some people will persecute you for that. See, this is the message and I want you to think about it as we talk about this. Is this how you approach the kingdom? Because we see clearly in Acts, this is how the kingdom of God grew. Because they preached Christ crucified. You know, in Acts 13, you know, he's saying here that we could just have a clear conscience. we can just have a clear conscience before God. We're not following Moses. We're following God. So I think a lot of times we got to go for the jugular spiritually. A lot of times we talk about the church and our programs and everything, but we've got to get back to approaching people with the gospel. You know, do you know that Jesus died for your sins? Do you know what that means? No, I don't know what that means. Well, let me tell you what it means. You know, we've got to preach Christ crucified. Question number three, when should we go? Of course, the answer is now. You know, up until Acts 13, Peter was probably the most prominent figure in the book of Acts. And people, as they were scattered primarily, as Jesus commanded them to, they went to Judea and Samaria and surrounding areas. Well, you know, Paul was converted, and here's the first time where he and Barnabas was sent off. It says, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work for which I've called them. Okay, these guys were in Antioch in Syria. And so they were sent out along with some other prophets, some other men. And there's a time and place to be sent out and a time and place for us to go. How many of us, let me see a show of hands, who've actually gone on some form of missionary work in your Christian life? Raise them high. Okay, several of us. I mean, that's awesome. You know, we're called to go. Sometimes when we move to a new city, we're called to go. We can be called to move to a different family group. I remember, I'm going to talk about Peter and Nancy Berry a minute here, but I remember several years ago when Peter and Nancy Berry moved to the Atlanta area, leadership talked to them. Well, Peter and Nancy had a heart. It's like, okay, we want to be used by God. So the leadership told them that, well, we need you guys in an area of town where they need some more color. And the color was beige. You know, Peter and Nancy moved to South DeKalb, which were predominantly African-American. So they said, hey, you know, we'll go to Lithonia, we'll go to wherever, and live there several years because we're trying to diversify that area. But I still remember that, and Peter and Nancy had a great heart. You know, sometimes, you know, we've just got to have the attitude that I just want to move. I want to do something differently. I want to move to just continue to advance the kingdom of God. You know, several weeks ago when Ben Barnett spoke to us, we were talking about just, you know, they're moving to Marietta. And there were several people who didn't want to go, you know. And that's their choice, to not to continue to support the church there. And they lived in the downtown area. But, you know, it's like Marietta is not far from downtown, is it? You know, for years when the Atlanta church began, we traveled all over the city to downtown. For years, and now we don't want to travel 20 minutes to Marietta. You know, we gotta be willing to go. Now, but for most of us, it's not going on a mission field, but it's as you go. Acts 3:1, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer when they were confronted by the beggar. In Acts 16, Paul and his companions were in Macedonia. On the Sabbath, they went outside the city to find a place of prayer, and Lydia was converted. Acts 17, Paul was in Athens and was distressed by what he saw and was compelled to say something. See, for most of us, it's as we go. Now, these guys went outside the city to find a place of prayer, and they got interrupted. This guy came to him and said, hey, look, you know, give me money, help me, whatever. And how many times when you're in a rush, you're on a mission, you're on a schedule, and somebody stop you? Say, hey, you know, what's going on? Or, hey, you see somebody you know, and you start talking to them, and you, the Holy Spirit said, well, man, I need to take the time to share with this person. But it doesn't always happen when we're sitting down doing nothing, you know? Most of the time, it's as we go. In both these cases, these guys were looking for a place to pray, And I could just imagine them telling Lydia, you know what, Lydia, well, you know, we came here to pray. We can't talk to you about Jesus now. Or telling the beggar, well, be warm and well fed. We'll see you later. We've got to share our faith. We've got to spread the kingdom of God. And we got to be flexible in doing that. sometimes I'll go to a McDonald's that's close to where I live and read my Bible, just to kind of be in a different venue. And so often people can recognize a Bible a mile away. And so people will come over and talk to you and say, oh, that's a good thing. I had one older man come to me. He's probably in his 80s. And he said, do you know what you're reading? the old Ethiopian eunuch thing, you know. And I said, well, I hope so. Well, what do you know about it? And we had a conversation. One day I was in there reading, and I was sitting across from three teens, no doubt Berkmar High School teens, because, you know, it was in that area. And they're all three different races, and they were talking about God in the Bible. And one young lady said, and I could hear them because they were so close. She said, well, my mom wants me to get baptized, and I don't know why if I should get baptized and what the purpose is. And they were just discussing it, and I couldn't help but hear. So I stopped reading what I was doing and jotted down about 10 scriptures and my wife's name and number, and just went over and introduced myself. Said, hey, I overheard you guys talking. You know, I'm a Christian. You know, you do need to get baptized, but this is what you need to understand about baptism. Talked to them a few minutes, gave the number, but, you know, I could have just kind of, oh, that's nice. You know, they talk about baptism. But the Holy Spirit was saying, go over, say something, stop what you're doing. This is an opportunity to share about God. On my job a few months ago, unfortunately, I had one of my clients to pass away. She was a young lady, she was 37, had a 17-year-old son, had a major seizure. Well, the mother came to our agency and asked us to do a memorial. Now, this is after the memorial or the funeral in the hometown where she was from. And, you know, my director's like, we don't do that kind of thing. I mean, we're social service agency and everything. But me being the social worker, say, okay, if we're going to do it, you got to plan it, you know. So I planned a memorial. And, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, how you look at it, I had to do just about everything. I had to do the opening. I had to do the prayer. I got to preach the sermon. But God was glorified through that. And that was not something that was on my radar, on our radar, to do a memorial for a deceased client. But God was glorified through it. So we got to look for opportunities as we go to promote God. Amen. Here in Acts 17, Paul was in Athens, said he was distressed over what he saw, all the idols and everything. Paul said, you know, I got to say something. I'm going to tell them about the true God. You know, does the world distress you? Does the sin that you see in the world cause you to say something? When folks are having those conversations at work or on the bus, are you compelled to say something? We just can't sit idly. People need what we have. Now, here's another thing. I think we should also have regular settings of people that we go to share our faith. Let's look at the next slide there. In Acts 17, this is Paul. It says, as was his custom, Paul went into the synagogue. And several places throughout the book of Acts, Paul, when he'd go into a town, he'd go to the synagogue. And he would go there to reason with them about Jesus being the Christ. I saw that and I said, this is really, really cool because Paul loved his Jewish brothers. He wanted them to have what he had. And I think we've got to have that same attitude about friends and family, people we're around. I want them to have what I have. So this was his custom because he knew I can get a captive audience. I know where they're going to be. You know, they're going to be worshiping here, and I can go talk about Jesus. And so one of my questions is, do you have a customary place where you go to share your faith or to meet people? For me, for many years, it was, basketball court. It seemed like everybody I met, Gerald Washington, Phil Proctor, on the basketball court, because that's where I like hanging out. So do you have a customary place? I want to get two or three people to just share. Do you have a place where you regularly go meet people? Anybody want to share? Yes, Karen. The grocery store and the bank, okay? And I'm sure, especially at that bank, Karen knows people there. She knows Taylor. She's built a relationship, Anybody else? Lane?
Goodwill.
My wife spends a lot of time in Goodwill. I think she's on the board of directors at Goodwill, to be honest, We support Goodwill by buying their stuff, and then we give it back to them later on. Yeah, just recycle it. Okay. Okay, Goodwill. Okay, one more. Anybody? Tommy. The gym. Okay. Tommy's physically fit. You could tell. He works out a lot, and he meets people, and he probably has a workout partner there. But as we go and as we're doing things we normally do in life, we should be sharing with folks. Ladies, you go to the beauty parlor, you get your hair done, you're seeing that same stylist every week or however often you go. I don't know. But share with those folks. Build a relationship. We need to have a regular place where we go meet people. All right, question number four. Where did the gospel spread? And that's everywhere. In Acts 7, after Stephen's death, it says, all but the apostles were scattered in Judea and Samaria, preaching the word wherever they went. At Iconium, in Acts 14, Paul and Barnabas spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. In Acts 16, the Philippian church became the first converts and what we now know as Europe. And that was in Macedonia. And I'll talk some more about that in a minute. And I think this is really cool. In Romans 16:5, says Paul says, greet Epaphras, who was the first convert in the province of Asia. Can you imagine that? I don't know if Paul converted him and he was just sending greetings by somebody, or he had found out about him. But he says, greet this guy. He was the first convert in the province of Asia. And there's something to be said about being the first to be reached out somewhere. I was thinking as I was preparing this lesson, I said, I wonder who was the first convert on the GGC campus when that ministry got started. Some of you, anybody know? Any of you guys know? Malachi. Amen. That's awesome to be the first convert, first person reached in a particular place. That's amazing. See, that's God working. Paul preached in over 50 cities and three missionary journeys covering 9 years, including his trip to Rome. He traveled over 10,000 miles. The city of Corinth was 800 miles from Jerusalem. Rome was 1,400 miles. See, Paul was dedicated to preaching the gospel wherever he went. Amen. He said in Romans 15:20, it has always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not known, so that I would not be building on someone else's foundation. Is that your ambition? I remember years ago when I moved to the city of Atlanta, that was one of my ambitions, to go where people were not being reached, to some other communities outside of where we had gone. That should be our ambition here. There's a lot of places, even here in Gwinnett, that we haven't reached. Ben Reynolds was telling me he lives kind of in Decula, and I was like, when he was describing, I was like, that's almost to Athens, isn't it? It's kind of real far out there. I didn't even know where he lived was called Decula. But there's a lot of places where you live that haven't been reached. And we've got to go into these neighborhoods and reach folks. Amen. Question five, how was it accomplished? It was accomplished through the Holy Spirit. You know, in Acts 2, we know what happened when the Holy Spirit came to all those folks who were there. It changed their lives. It changed their purpose. It changed their perspective. Jesus said, the kingdom of God lives in you, and it begins with you. If the Spirit is in you, then the Spirit's going to come out. Something's going to happen. You're going to influence people just by your love, your goodness, your faithfulness. You're not the one that gripes and complains at work. You know, you could take something that seemed to be a downer and make it a positive. You're the key ingredient. The Holy Spirit indwelling in you should make a difference. But secondly, the Spirit leads us. See, Paul and his companions were going into Asia here in Acts 16, and the Spirit prevented them from going into Asia. And then the next night, Paul had a dream, called the Macedonian Call, to come over to Macedonia. And of course, Philippi is in Macedonia. But there was a great, there was a lot of fruitfulness in Macedonia. You know, you got the Philippian jailer, you got Lydia. But if you look in the book of Acts, several people were converted in Macedonia. But the reason why that happened is that they were led by the Spirit. Sometimes we want to reach out to this person, to these people, and we kind of keep pushing them, and they're not ready, and it's not their time, and we need to be led by the Spirit somewhere else. You know, there's too many people that deserve to hear the gospel than to spend your whole life with one person. Now, does that mean you stop being a friend? No. Y'all will be a friend. You'll always be there for them. But we can't spend all our efforts in one place when the Spirit is leading us somewhere else. The Spirit compels. In Acts 20, Paul, despite others saying, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. They want to kill you there. They got a plot. You're going to be persecuted there. He was beaten there. Paul was compelled to go to Jerusalem. But not only that, Paul was compelled to go to Rome. You know, in Acts 20:23-11, it says the Spirit told Paul that he must testify in Rome as well. Acts 25:11, Agrippa said that this man, Paul, could be set free if he had an appeal to Caesar. And I don't think Paul just went to Rome because the Spirit told him that in a dream. Paul wanted to get in front of the highest man in the world at that time and talk about Jesus. Even if the Spirit had not told him that, Paul used his citizenship as a Roman citizen to get to Rome because he wanted to take the gospel all the way to Rome. See, we've got to be compelled by the Spirit to do things that seem unnatural to everyone else. Question number six, why did the kingdom spread? Simply because the word of God was proclaimed. Excuse me. In Acts 6, when, you know, the situation where the Grecian widows were complaining because they were being overlooked in the distribution, the apostles chose men to take care of that matter so they could continue to spread the word of God. In Acts 12, when Herod was being praised as a god and he didn't give credit to the true God, he died for that, and it says the word of God spread. In Acts 16, after the apostles had delivered the decisions from Acts 15 about the Jerusalem Council to all the churches, say the churches were strengthened and grew daily. In Acts 19, in Ephesus, when sorcery was exposed, the word of the God, word of the Lord spread widely. And then in Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The word of God is mentioned 155 times in the book of Acts. See, the kingdom of God can't spread unless the word of God is being proclaimed. Wherever you go, you got to take the word of God with you. You know, it's interesting. I was yesterday morning, got up and turned on the news. And I think there are four main stories that is a demonstration of why the word of God needs to go out. First, there was a story about the ISIS attacks in three different places and people being slaughtered on the beaches. Secondly, there was the story about one of the prison escapees being killed. And what was really interesting about that is they interviewed his brother. And his brother was so excited because his brother was afraid of him. He had threatened his brother, Matt. What's his name? First name, Richard? Was it Richard, Matt? I can't remember his first name. But he had threatened his brother. And it's like, this guy's excited that his brother is being killed, you know. Thirdly, the eulogy of the Charleston Nine, as they're called, the nine people who were killed by the young man. Just senseless. Didn't know that was going to be the day that they would leave this earth. That was the third story. And then the fourth story about same-sex marriage. So many people are elated and excited. And, you know, you could see it for two or three years that it was coming. It doesn't set God back. All it does, it makes us realize, is that we got to continue to get the word out. People can be excited and say, okay, we can get married now, but they still got to deal with the word of God in obedience to the word. So nothing's really has changed from a Christian standpoint, except for the fact that we got to be more diligent because the world can make whatever law and do whatever it wants to, but we've got to stick by the word of God and let people know what the word of God says.
Okay,
I just wanted, before I close out, I want to share some concluding things. As I was going through the book of Acts, I also saw these themes. They're going to be growing pains. As I mentioned earlier about in the church, when they were growing so fast, the Grecian widows were being overlooked in the distribution, and I don't know how that went. But as the kingdom of God grows, they're going to be growing pains. And we've got to be ready for that. As we grow here in Gwinnett, there's going to be all kinds of people converted with all kinds of challenges. We've got to be ready for that. I was talking to a brother in another ministry in another state, and they're a small grassroots ministry of about 70 people. And he said in their Bible talk, they've converted 9 people over the last 3 months. And they don't have enough leaders to teach the people, so they're trying to think of creative ways to teach the young disciples. So that's a good problem to have, isn't it? So, you know, they're going to be growing pains, but the kingdom of God will grow. There are going to be false teachings. Acts 15, they have to deal with that. And people who have been converted from Judaism saying you got to be circumcised and all these other things. They dealt with that. There are going to be persecution. Paul was persecuted, and you can read in his letters about all the persecution he experienced, and we're going to be persecuted. But see, none of these things will stop the kingdom of God from growing.
Amen.
It's just that big. You can't contain it, and we've got to keep that in mind. As we close out, I want everybody to turn to Colossians 1. We're going to read there, starting in verse 21 to verse 23. Paul says here, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. If you continue your faith, establish and firm, not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. See, Paul could say here that in his lifetime, the gospel had been preached to everybody throughout their known world. You know, that should be our goal here. We'll begin wherever we are, whether it's being a student at GGC or one of the other campuses or in our neighborhoods, but wherever we go, the kingdom of God needs to continue to spread. Amen. So that's our class today. You can go get your children. We'll begin our worship service in a little bit. Thank you.